Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Sunday Night Live here on the Alex Jones Network. It's alexjoneslive.com. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, here with you today for this, what is it, the 3rd of May, 2026. My goodness, time flies. It's been quite a weekend. I've had a fantastic weekend, to be honest with you. I've spent probably too much of it, to be fair, on X and on Twitter, because just like every time anything bad happens to Alex Jones or any, you know, attack is waged against us or some new development in the bankruptcy saga, the outpouring of support from our fans is the most uplifting thing you can possibly imagine. And it's just a good excuse. It's a good excuse to go back and watch all the classic clips, all the classic rants, post the classic, you know, the songs. I saw versions of the song I've never seen before. I had no idea. Our InfoWars, well, the former InfoWars archiver, Sean, had found every clip from the song, the Somali song, and he'd found it in the original and then put it all together. So it's like an a cappella version. Just, it was just awesome. I don't know. If you haven't been on X recently, then you've missed out on a lot of classic Alex Jones material being spread. And it's just great to see everybody, so many people that is, recognize what's actually happening with InfoWars, what's actually happening with Alex Jones, the importance of what's happening there. It's really gratifying and amazing, especially since, I mean, it feels like a blink in an eye since I first joined InfoWars. I guess it's been almost a decade at this point, which is kind of terrifying, but true. And even like when I first joined, I mean, the idea that you would have like all of these mainstream people, all of these, you know, powerful, influential people coming out in support of Alex Jones, that was a, we were a far cry from that. But, you know, after 9 years of being proven right over and over and over again, being the only outlet to tell the truth on the air all through the COVID saga or now the Iran war, it's InfoWars, or it was. Now it's Alex Jones, and it always was. So it's going to be hard to break that habit, I got to say. Every time I say InfoWars now, I'm saying it with a Z on the end, okay? Just fair warning. Try not to say it, but, you know, when something becomes part of your identity over nearly a decade, it'll be hard to drop. But the information war certainly continues. And I really am seeing some very, very concerning signs, concerning signals. Perhaps the most concerning thing about them is that they're happening all across the world all at once. In other words, you've got a law passing in Oregon that looks an awful lot like what they're doing in the EU. Or you have a law passing in Washington State that looks an awful lot like what they're doing in the UK at exactly the same time. And to me, all proceeding to exactly the same end, which is obviously our total enslavement. And I think the Iran war is deliberately bringing about this condition. Obviously, the warning signs today that everybody is starting to recognize that we identified the minute that the Iran war started, we, you know, nailed that on its head. Obviously, the Strait of Hormuz being closed, we absolutely called. And as most people were looking at oil, we were also some of the first to go, this is about fertilizer. And to notice that everything that's happening worldwide right now seems an awful, well, it seems awful familiar, doesn't it? It seems an awful lot like what preceded the COVID lockdowns in 2020. And I even remember saying, I really should have probably grabbed the clip because it must have been like the first or second day after the Iran war started. And I did a big monologue on the war room saying, this feels like COVID. I feel like we're sitting here seeing the future, seeing where this goes, seeing the lockdowns, seeing the trauma, seeing the devastating impacts of the economic collapse that they're bringing about. And once again, we just have to sit here and watch it. We just have to, I mean, we don't just sit here and watch it. We do everything we possibly can to shout as loudly as we can, to warn as many people as we possibly can about what's coming and what the purpose of this is and why it's happening. We are sort of suicidally dedicated to this mission of getting things out. So not that we just have to sit here and watch everything proceed, but knowing that it doesn't matter what the people think, knowing that it doesn't matter. Like, our appeals fall on deaf ears because people doing this aren't stupid. They know exactly what they're doing and they're doing it on purpose. So, and like, once you understand that that is the reality, And I've said many, many times before, if you want to be a conspiracy theorist, there's really just one step you have to take. And that's understand that things don't just happen. Okay? Things don't just occur. You don't have wild, you know, unprecedented swings of the demographics or the transgender phenomenon. These things don't just spring out of the ground like water. These are deliberate, manufactured policies pushed by specific people for specific ends. And once you realize that and just start asking questions about who they are and why they're doing it, everything else kind of falls into place in terms of being a conspiracy theorist and pursuing that line of questioning to the end. Why are we going to war with Iran? Why would they want the, you know, fertilizer not to make it to the farmers? Won't that create starvation? Why would they want starvation? Oh, because then you can ration things. And so then basically people's good behavior determines whether they live or die. And you're the one who gets to judge their good behavior. Like it all kind of, you know, proceeds from the last in a logical progression that it's an unbroken chain. So we're going to ask that question. We're going to ask those questions. We're going to ask why. We're going to look at, you know, what the end point of this, because it's sort of glaringly obvious. There's a far left guy, which, you know, this is the thing. This is what we're seeing now is such an amazing example of how the left and right divide is used by those in power to keep us from getting anything done or from solving any of our problems, because so many people are locked in to the right-wing Republican establishment mindset or loyalty or whatever it is, that they get led down these paths that just don't make any sense. And we've pointed out for a while now, what they're trying to set up in the Republican Party is that there's one and only one thing you must believe to be a conservative, and that is supporting Israel. And that's them deciding that. That's the Republican Party and the Republican establishment deciding that Republicans are represented by Ben Shapiro and Mark Levin and, you know, these people, pro-Israel crowd, and that they can believe anything else. I mean, look at Alan Dershowitz. Alan Dershowitz changed his registration over to Republican, just like Sergey Brin did, or maybe it was Larry Page, but I think it was Sergey Brin, the head of Google. He also did the same thing, switched his registration over to Republican. And at least in Alan Dershowitz's case, he wrote a article explaining, I'm still a Democrat. I still believe everything the Democrats believe, right? Alan Dershowitz is not a conservative by any means. He makes it explicit that he's switching because Republicans support Israel and for no other reason. So you can believe in transgenderism. You can believe in immigration. You can be pro-immigration, legal and illegal. You can, like, whatever. It doesn't matter. You can believe whatever the hell you want. But if you're pro-Israel, you're a Republican. If you're anti-Israel, you're a Democrat. Do you understand how ridiculous that dichotomy is and how useful it is for the bad guys in power to get whatever the hell they want done? Because you can always just have the sides completely flip at any point. I mean, we saw this with Epstein. We saw this with the Epstein files. The Democrats went for 10 years at least ignoring the existence of Jeffrey Epstein or any elite pedophiles. Like it was the plague, like they resisted it to ends that didn't make any sense at the time, right? Aren't you against elite pedophilia? Don't you know this goes on? They'd say, you crazy conspiracy theorists, because obviously the Democrats were the ones associated with it. Now, that's not the reason we talked about it. We talked about it with Dennis Haskert guy. He was a Republican Speaker of the House. Of course, we're going to talk about that. We talked about George H.W. Bush, the Franklin cover-up, all that sort of stuff. It doesn't matter to us what side the satanic pedophiles are on. They're our enemy. So we'll go after them. Not so for the Democrats. The Democrats wanted to protect Hillary Clinton, wanted to protect Bill Clinton, wanted to protect Jeffrey Epstein and the entire Democrat establishment that he was very hooked into. And so for 10 years, they made it a giant joke, the idea that there was elite pedophilia. Then Trump refuses to release the Epstein files and suddenly becomes an anti-Trump stance to be in favor of the Epstein release. It just totally ridiculous, but I guess it makes sense. I guess the party that's not in power is allowed to want the Epstein files released. It's just once you're in power and have the ability to release it, suddenly it flips all of a sudden. And it's kind of strange how that happens. So like right now, the Republicans should be the ones who are championing farmers. I don't think I should have to explain that. I think you could ask anybody that speaks English, are farmers typically considered right wing or left wing? Everybody knows they're going to be right wing. Again, I'm sorry if I have to explain this to you, but rural people tend to vote Republican just as a condition. These are our people. We should be the ones looking after them. What are we doing? By which I mean the Republicans. What are the Republicans doing right now? Desperately trying to give Roundup immunity so glyphosate can give farmers cancer. Trying to rewrite the farm bill in order to force all these farmers to sell their land to major, you know, multinational conglomerates. And now, with the crushing of the fertilizer, Republicans who are refusing to acknowledge any negatives of this war, which again is, I think, on purpose because the destruction of America is one of the points of why we're going into war in Iran, why we went into war in Iran. And by the way, I think we may be getting more involved in the war in Iran. I actually saw the videos I was driving in, so I didn't have a chance to send to the crew. But if the crew wants to try to find, CNN had a guy on talking about how a major admiral, Admiral Cooper, was just seen at CENTCOM, and there are all these sort of signals pointing to the fact that a major ground invasion may be right around the corner, which we've sort of been waiting for and desperately trying to avoid it this entire time. So, again, very useful. Should be the Republicans that are against the crushing of the farmers in America. Instead, they've done this two-party shadow boxing jujitsu where now it's the left wing that's trying to protect farmers. That's crazy. But only because it's the obvious negative consequence of the war in Iran. That's the right clip, guys. If y'all want to grab that and throw that in, let me know when you have it. We'll go to that. But this is like, I didn't even realize, this is the thing. I sent the crew a bunch of like tweets to tweet out, and I thought this one was sort of a good summation of a lot of what's going on with the farmers in America. I didn't even realize at the time I despise this account. This account is Morgan J. Freeman. He's like one of the worst leftist accounts of all time. So why am I using him as a source? Because he's telling the truth about farmers in America, because to him, he thinks it benefits him politically. But I'll just tell it to you because it's the truth. He says, nobody's saying how effed the farmers in America are right now. The agriculture secretary just confirmed it publicly. One in four American farmers has no fertilizer secured for spring planting. No fertilizer, no crops, no food. Farm bankruptcies are up 45 or 46% in 2025, probably even more so in 2026. 160,000 farms have closed since 2017. Less than half of all farmers will even turn a profit this year. They're not struggling. They're being wiped out. And the media is busy covering everything else. The real story hasn't been told yet. Follow me because I'm about to tell it. And again, I'd never follow him, but you should not follow him. He's a terrible person as far as I'm concerned. I think, yeah, he's got the No Kings banner as his profile picture. So like, why is it the left is talking about this? And is it just so the right wing don't actually notice it or shrug it off and pretend it's not actually happening? Because it is happening. And it's been happening in a variety of different ways. And it's happening with the co-signature of the Republican Party and the conservatives here in America. The glyphosate, the selling out of the farmland to Bill Gates or Chinese billionaires or whoever the hell else can grease the palms of the people in charge. And that's not even getting into all the stuff that we've covered over and over again with the likes of Tiffany Cianci and others. And of course, it's not just the fertilizer, it is the fuel as well. Spirit Airlines just shut down after something like, I think something like 34 years in operation, something like that. Delta Airlines is now mysteriously canceling hundreds of flights nationwide, citing crew restrictions. The disruptions come as Spirit Airlines has officially shut down, adding further stress and uncertainty across the U.S. travel system. And it really just goes on and on. And you've got same thing happening in the UK. This is one of the things I mean, where you have, you know, companies here, Delta Airlines seeking a $2.5 billion bailout. Delta Airlines mysteriously canceling hundreds of flights nationwide. And then you've got Europe passing laws that allow flights to be canceled over fuel shortages. Airlines can cancel flights in advance over fuel shortages under new plans being adopted in the UK. And of course, all of this is simply like perfectly in line, you know, fit like a dovetail into the C40 climate change agenda, which hasn't gone anywhere. It has morphed a little bit now that the data centers are being built. And we got a lot of news about that today as well. The just unending negatives when it comes to the data centers being built. Like, all of these things are pre-planned, and it's not a coincidence that time and time again you have these mysterious circumstances or unexplained circumstances or supposedly unforeseen circumstances that align directly with everything they said they were going to do anyway. So I've got this workbook here, this PDF that I've covered many times before, but it's the C40 city program, the future of urban consumption in a 1.5 degree Celsius world, C40 cities headline report. In this report, they detail how they will incrementally remove air travel, car travel, and even just basic purchasing power from consumers. And they outline, like, in the perfect future with the, you know, carbon neutral future, everybody will be granted one short haul flight every 5 years. And like, literally, I mean, they have it down to that. And like, they'll be able to buy 5 pieces of clothing, take one short haul flight, and drive, you know, this many miles. And like, that's what they're planning for you. They're planning to basically have everybody start at zero and never get above it. Like, that's the ultimate plan. They'll do, you know, the death taxes. I mean, they consider inheritance evil, right? You're not allowed to inherit anything. You have to start at zero. So we all start at the lowest possible common denominator. So we're all equal, and then nobody gets any benefits. And they're even going to have money that expires. So you can't have savings. You certainly can't save up to make a big purchase, right? Any debt will be dependent on your social credit score. So you'll be forced to behave through that. But essentially, they want to grind down your ability to exist until basic survival is so expensive it's all you can afford to do. That's the ultimate plan. That's what all of this goes towards. And again, they can act like they didn't know the Strait of Hormuz was going to be shut. They can act like what's happening now with the airlines is just, you know, an emergency response to a unstoppable situation. But none of this is unforeseen. We called it all. So how could it have been unforeseen? How could we have known this was going to happen? The people in D.C. didn't know. Of course they knew. So why didn't the media tell you? Because they didn't want you to know, because they wanted it to happen. So all this is just incredibly frustrating that, once again, we can just see the steps where they're going, and the people, not just us, but even if we got everybody in America who's not in Washington, D.C. and actually making the decisions on our side to, you know, be vehemently against this, it would still go on, because it doesn't matter what you say, because democracy is a lie and these people are going to do it regardless of what you think. And if you disagree, then they'll use whatever psychological manipulation they need to either get you on their side or destroy you. It's like totally just a ruthless death cult that we're working against here. And until we recognize that, they're going to win without even really having to fight. Let's go to this video. This is from CNN, just broke a few minutes ago, and we've seen some differing statements about what's going on with the war in Iran. The 60-day deadline expired, so, you know, to continue operations, Trump would need a, you know, certification from Congress, unless they're saying that, oh, that operation ended, this is a new operation, so the clock resets and we get another 60 days, which would be stretching an already very thinly stretched provision of the Constitution. But that may be what they're doing. Here's seeing it. And again, I'm showing you a source that I frankly despise, but Barak Ravid is like one of the worst people ever. So take this with a grain of salt, but this is what they want people to believe. So let's just start with that. And then we'll try to deconstruct on the other side. But here's CNN saying, looks like a big ground force is preparing for a war with Iran.
Global affairs analyst and Axios correspondent Barak Ravid. Barak, it's always great to have you. So we have these pieces that Nick and Betsy just laid out for us. What is your sense of where things stand tonight when it comes to this war with Iran?
So first, I think that the Iranian response, this 14-point document, at least as far as I know, is not going to stop a possible escalation. I think, if anything, it could lead to an escalation. I don't think that the Iranian responses, for what I hear from U.S. officials, I don't get the sense that there was anything in this response that addresses the U.S. concerns, especially when it comes to Iran's nuclear program. President Trump has told me personally he's not going to lift the blockade only to get the Strait of Hormuz open. He will only lift the blockade for a comprehensive deal that includes addressing U.S. concerns about Iran's enrichment of uranium and uranium stockpiles. So I don't think we will see in the next few days, or I'll be more careful maybe. I would be highly surprised if we will see any serious diplomatic progress in the next few days. I think we are much closer to the opposite scenario of an escalation on the ground.
That was what I wanted to ask you, was what your sense is of the chances of this escalating. So it sounds like you think that is a very real possibility.
Yeah, I think just 5 minutes ago, the U.S. Military Central Command published photos of CENTCOM Commander Admiral Brad Cooper in an unannounced visit to the forces in the Arabian Sea. Admiral Cooper, just on Thursday evening, met with President Trump to brief him on operational plans for possible military action against Iran. And from the White House, he went to the Middle East and met with the U.S. soldiers on the USS Tripoli. The USS Tripoli is part of the Special Marines Expeditionary Unit that is tasked at, sort of operations that could be implemented in the Strait of Hormuz.
So I think. All right. So again, obviously the war in Iran is not over by any means. It's not anywhere close to being over. The Strait is still this matter of contention. And it seems like the only thing stopping us from just calling it quits is that Trump wants to save face and not look like he's lost, or that maybe, just maybe, the Strait being closed is the point of all of this, and that this was never a war to destroy Iran, and it was always a war to finish off America and Europe.